question, are you willing? And if you turn to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, and, you know, I don't plan to keep you along tonight or anything like that. Pastor didn't give me a time limit, so, you know, but I do want to be respectful of your time. But trust me, I have no idea what time it is. We've only been in the U.S. for not quite 2 weeks yet, something like that. And it's 11 hours difference to Bulgaria. I'm somewhere in the between of that. So, but John chapter 12, we'll start in verse number 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." And I really want to focus there in mostly in verse 24 this evening. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And I don't know if you've thought much even about that verse, a very simple verse, short verse. But that word right there near the beginning of the verse, "I say unto you, except." Right? Probably you're all familiar with the word, right? We hear the word exception. Depends on what field you're in. I was a software engineer by trade, got a degree in mathematics, was minding my own business, planning on getting a PhD in computer science and being involved in that. I would much rather be in a cave or away from people, have everything delivered by drone. I don't need to interact with anyone. I'm very happy in that place, very comfortable there, right? And there we have the word exception. In software engineering, the word exception occurs and you don't like it. It's a bad thing and you've experienced it. Even if you don't write code, you have seen those message boxes that pop up and say, you know, "unexpected error," right? And there's no further information. You're like, "Yeah, it was unexpected by me too. I don't know what to do either." Right? So you have exception, and that means it's something out of the ordinary when we use it in that sense. But then, you know, if you get into mathematics and you have like unions and sets and set theory and all this fun stuff, you have these ideas of things that are in the set and things that are outside of the set. They're exceptions to the rule. And I find that's interesting that the word chosen is except, because that makes it appear as something that is not the normal behavior, right? It's not the status quo. You think about a corn of wheat. If you do nothing with it, right? If you just leave it in the package, you know, you go down to the seed shop or whatever and you buy a bunch of seeds. If you leave those in the package, they do nothing. That's their average state. That's their normal state. That's what they do all the time. They just sit in the package and they don't bear fruit. The only way for them to bear fruit is to become exceptional, right? To die, right? That seed is no longer a seed at that point in time, right? It the shell comes off there, whatever. You know, I don't know a lot about biology. I studied math. I went to an engineering school where we had the option, actually sort of triple major, physics, math, computer science. 3 years, realized hated physics, dropped that, stuck with the math and computer science. But one of the reasons I chose that university in particular was because we didn't have to take biology. We could take extra chemistry. I like to blow things up. Chemistry's helpful for that. So I said, yes, give me more chemistry. You know, maybe I'll have a career in arson. I don't know. Depends on how things go. I didn't want to do biology. So I don't understand all the mechanics of seeds, you know, at a high level, some of the chemistry and things. But I do know this, that seed changes and is no longer a seed, right? If you plant it and the seed dies and the plant begins to grow, the seed is gone. Right? You can't get that back and now, you know, take it and put it somewhere else. As a matter of fact, it even becomes something different. It doesn't look like it used to. It's changed. Now, a seed does that automatically, right? God designed it to do that. You put it in the ground, you water it, it's got the right conditions and all that, it will die and produce a plant. You know, I know there's homeschoolers here and all that, and we did that growing up, right? You take like the bean, put it in a wet paper towel, watch it, you know, and a plant begins, and the seed changes. And Jesus said this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. There's not an alternative, right? There is no other way. If you want to plant corn and you want to get a corn crop, that seed has to go into the ground, it has to die, become something different, and then it can produce fruit. There's no alternative. Now think about those words. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die. Right? That doesn't sound comfortable. I don't know about you, but not a comfortable thought. As I said, I am happy behind a computer screen, living in a cave, away from everything, don't need to interact with people. I'm totally fine with that. Give me a good book, some code to write. Happy camper. But in order to produce fruit for the Lord, something has to change. And that change is uncomfortable. I heard a message many years ago, and the phrase has stuck with me. It was a really great message. God's glory or my comfort. The two can't live together. I can either bring glory to God, or I can be comfortable. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, having a nice chair to sit in and all that. I think you understand me, right? In order to bear fruit, in order for missions to happen, right? In order for the gospel to go forth, we have to move away from that place that is comfortable, die to self, so that we can bring glory to God. Now, in conjunction with this, I was recently reading in Psalms, and this really stood out to me, Psalm 63. So you can keep your finger there in John 12 if you like. We'll come back there. But in Psalm 63, it's really my desire this evening, my hope is to make you uncomfortable. So, you know, hopefully we're doing that. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. So if you're familiar with that city of brotherly shove, right, we just don't care. So if you feel uncomfortable tonight, great. If not, I didn't do my job. So Psalm 63, interesting here as the psalmist starts out in verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Maybe you're familiar with this psalm, maybe you're not, but it's a tremendous thought, right? O God, thou art my God. You can hear that heart cry that's there. You can hear that longing for the Lord, right? His love for God that he has. Early will I seek thee. Right, you see that desire of, I want to be with God, I want to know God, I want to spend time with God, and so I'm getting up early, which again is an uncomfortable thing. Right, I'm going to rise up early, I'm going to seek after God. You see that desire, that longing he has, and he continues on. My soul thirsteth for thee. Right, that's that desire. Think about when you thirst for something. You know, you're working on a hot day or whatever, and just that cool water, and you're just looking forward to it. You're longing for it. You want to get that drink of water. I'm thirsting for it. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Right? He's giving us that picture of his desire, his love, his longing to fellowship with the Lord. Then verse 2, look what else he's desiring. To see thy power and thy glory, so I have, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now that's a great desire. I don't know about you, but I think I could echo that thought. I mean, maybe my heart isn't as close to God as it should be. Like the psalmist, when I read that, and I think, man, I want to want God more. I want to. It's one of those things that years ago, as I was reading in, I believe it's in Matthew, where Christ said that, it's there in Matthew where he's saying, you know, the hungry shall be filled, right? And he's talking about the blessed are the meek and the peacemakers. But in there, he talked about that the hungry being filled. And said, Lord, help me to be hungry because I want you to fill me. Right? Let me have that desire. Make your word like salt water where I just want to come back in them more and more and more. And that's what I see the psalmist saying here. But then when he gets that, to see thy power and thy glory. How many of you want to see God's power, to see God's glory, to see God work, to do those things, right? We read the book of Acts and we think about those things and say, man, how awesome it would be to have been there on that day of Pentecost and to see these men crying out, you know, what must we do to be saved? I mean, that is probably the desire of every missionary, to have at least one person that would actually say that. What must I do to be saved? Right? That is what we long for. That's what we strive for. That's what we're working towards. That's to see God's glory. To see God's power manifested. But as I was reading this, and it's just a few weeks back, my mind kind of wandered to another direction of looking at this, and I thought about it this way. Am I in a place where I need to see God's power? And hopefully you can follow where I'm tracking with that. It's one thing to say we want to see God's power, but I think sadly and very often, and especially in, you know, I'm just speaking with, painting with a very broad brush, like speaking about America in general and kind of what I've seen and even in communicating with people and good people, we're way too comfortable. In a sense, and I'm talking about good people in good churches who love the Lord. I'm not trying to say that we don't love God, we don't want to serve Him, but we're so comfortable, do we even really need God? Because I'll be honest, the times in my life where I can say, man, I saw God, that was God working, no one else could do that but God, we're exactly in those places where no one else could do it but God. I was fellowshipping with a pastor earlier. I spent 6 years as a pastor in a farm town in Wisconsin. And I was bivocational the whole time. When we took over the church, there were three people left in the church. And it was about to close its doors. And I figured, look, I'm young enough, I'm stupid enough, and the worst I can do is close it. I mean, it's already on its way there. So, you know, if it stays alive, praise the Lord. If it dies, that's not unexpected. I'm there. So, you know, that was, and just the honest truth, I stepped in with that mindset. If somebody doesn't come in, it's going to die. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I've had people ask me, you've been on the mission field for 8 years, so you have a handle on, no, I still have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just trying to follow the Lord as He leads every day. And so we stepped into that ministry and I wanted to stay in town as best I could. And there was a McDonald's in town and that was the only job I could find. So I started working at the McDonald's. Through that, I got to know pretty much everybody in town because it's a small town. There's nowhere else to go for coffee in the morning. So everybody came through. The downside to McDonald's was the paycheck wasn't all that big. And if you have money in a bank account, that's great. And if you take money out of that, you have to keep putting money back in, right? That's kind of how accounting works. Right? You put some in, take some out. But you want to kind of have a flow through there. You know, and generally, it's better if you have more going in than you take out. If you do it the other way around, there's a limit to how long you can do that. Well, we hit that limit. And I remember the day I had just come off work. We had gone grocery shopping the other day. And I wasn't going to get paid again for 2 weeks, and it was somewhere around $10 or $15 left in our bank account. And we had enough groceries for maybe the rest of the week. Came home from work, took a shower, getting ready for services that evening. I stepped out of the shower and just looked up and said, God, I'm done. I'm done. I have no money. We're living in the basement of the church. That's a whole nother story. We have nothing. I won't get more money for another 2 weeks. There's nothing left. I can't do anything. I'm done. About an hour later, a pastor friend of mine from about an hour or so south of us gives me a phone call, and he's got this kind of high-pitched voice, and he just says, "Hey, Brother Jeff, what are you doing tomorrow? Are you going to be home?" I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I don't have any money to go anywhere, so yeah, I'm going to be home. "Our church has got something for you, just a little gift we want to bring up. It'd be all right if we come over tomorrow." I said, "Sure, come on up." And that guy pulls into the church parking lot with a van and three other men. And they just start unloading groceries. And I tried to help. He's like, no, brother. You just tell us where to put it." And I don't think I'm exaggerating to say for a half an hour, they unloaded food from that van. So much so that there was another pastor friend of mine who I knew was hurting. I called him and I said, "Look, I've got too much food. Can I give you some?" Honest truth, they brought us these like 50-pound bags of pasta. I think we had three or four of them. Some of that stuff we ate for 2 years. Because there's just two of us. And, you know, 50 pounds of pasta will go a long way. But see, in order to see God's glory and power, I had to actually get to a place where I needed God. And I think sometimes I'm painting with a broad brush, but as I've kind of watched and seen over the years, and our home church included, there's a burden in my heart that I think we're so comfortable, there's no place for God to work. I was talking with a pastor, this has got to have been about 9 or 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago now. He said he'd been talking with a missionary that had recently come through the church who was concerned about their mission board. And the concern about the mission board was the amount of money they were being required to raise. And they were talking to this pastor. They said, "I honestly feel like we're handling so many cases of what could go wrong that we're not leaving room for God to work." Again, I know there's a balance, right? God does give us wisdom. We're supposed to be wise. We should plan in that. But I think we've become so comfortable, we're not in a place where we actually could see the glory of the Lord. We could see the power of God. We could see God step out and work because we don't need Him. Yeah, my 401k is good. You know, paycheck's good. Yeah, inflation, but you know, I'm doing all right. You know, good medical insurance. And then we say, "Oh God, I want to see you work." And I think sometimes He's saying, "Okay, well, step out to the place where you need me." Because we have a world that's all around us dying and going to hell. Bulgaria, we have basically about 5 independent Baptist missionaries. Let me put it this way. 3 who are seeking to work with Bulgarians. We've got a couple working with Roma gypsies. There's another group of missionaries there who are working with Turkish-speaking gypsies. And a lot of those guys don't even speak Bulgarian because where they live, it's a Turkish-speaking community. Praise the Lord that they're reaching them. I don't speak Turkish. I'm glad that they do that. But 6.5 million people who speak Bulgarian, about 10 million worldwide. There's 3 of us trying to get the gospel into their hands. It's not comfortable for me. So We had a big furlough. We took a long furlough, 4 months in 2021, and I got the question. The question was asked many times. I'm sure, Pastor, you heard this too. Does it feel like home? And many people found it strange when I said no. But I don't think it has to. I was almost 40 when I went to the mission field. Maybe after 40 years, it would start to feel like home. But no, this feels like home. This is comfortable for me. I speak Bulgarian. I preach in Bulgarian. But honestly, it is much more comfortable for me to preach in English. I like going into the store. It's a little disconcerting at first when we first get back here. Just everybody around me speaking English. But then you kind of adapt. You're like, this is nice. Everybody around me speaking English. Because sometimes, like, I just don't want to hear another word of Bulgarian. I'm done. But it's not about my comfort. See, if I want to see God work, if I want to see His glory, then I've got to get to the place where I die to self and I am all alone and only God can do it. So what about you? Are you willing? Right? That was the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, right? And all of a sudden now Pharaoh's army is chasing them and they get up to the edge of the Red Sea there. They're out in the wilderness. They're penned in, right? There were the mountains on the other side. And they said, Moses, did you bring us out here to die? Right? They were in a hopeless place. Read through it. It's Exodus 14. Read through that story. Look at their response to Moses. Even there, they're saying, you know, yeah, we were slaves, but at least, you know, we weren't penned in ready to be slaughtered by the army. But then they saw God work. Right? Could you imagine if you had been there? The wind that rises up and all of a sudden this mighty sea is parted in half. And God says, go ahead, just move forward, go across. Pharaoh's army is still there, right? They chase them into the sea, but they get to the other side and absolute, utter, and complete deliverance. Not just did they make it to the other side, but that army is no longer a problem. But they had to be willing to step out, to trust God, to say, even when I don't know how this is going to work, I don't know where I'm going to go, it's impossible. And God says, okay, now you're ready. The psalmist here, to see thy power and thy glory, I'm longing for that, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. But the only way we're going to see that is, as we see back in John chapter 12, and just close with this thought. As Christ says, verily, verily, verse 24, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And you see what he says in verse 27, right? Now is my soul troubled. Right? Christ knew what was happening. He knew what was to come. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Bulgaria is not going to get the gospel without people willing to say, okay, God, my comfort doesn't matter. It's about your glory. I'm willing to go. I may not be the best. I may not be the brightest. I may not have it all put together, but I'm willing. And I believe more than anything, God is looking for someone who is willing. He'll take care of the rest. Who's going to reach? You guys have support the Millers in Serbia. Best of my knowledge, he's the only guy there. There was another guy there. It's not there anymore. He's alone over there. Hurting for fellowship. If you got a passport, why don't you go visit him? If you don't have a passport, shame on you. Get one, go visit him. I told you I'm not going to be nice. You support the Millers. The Hamiltons over in Moldova. I know there's a couple other guys there within the McCurdy's and that, but guarantee you, they'd love a little shot in the arm and some fellowship. But who's going to reach Moldova? It's going to take somebody packing up saying, I don't care about my comfort. A parent that says, well, my grandchildren may grow up over there, but the, praise the Lord, the gospel's being preached. Right? You heard in the video, that was my pastor reading those scriptures, how shall they preach except they be sent? Somebody has to be willing to go. Croatia, there's just a couple of guys there. We were talking over dinner. I'm begging the Lord to send somebody to Macedonia. It's a border country. I don't know of anyone there. I know a couple of nationals down there. I've made some trips down there. There's a church that's burdened about it. They're trying to send somebody there now. What about you? What about you? Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But for this cause came I unto this hour. I don't know when your hour is. But there's a world that's hurting. And I think too often, it sounds uncomfortable. God sends somebody else. I started with that. That's what I was praying. God sends somebody. God sends somebody. Will you be the answer to that prayer? Let's close with a word of